Brian Crothers, Building an Empire. Last week, we talked about one of the chapters, chapter 3, which was really probably, you know, it's called Becoming a Builder. And I thought it was really critical for people because it had a lot of great things in it. And from that overview last week, you know, we're already investing time and energy around sizzle calls. We're doing some research on them. I've talked to Manatech, and we're going to try to put together a couple sizzle calls, one product-oriented, one business-oriented, so you really can start doing gapping with people you call. Hey, John, listen, John, don't you grab a pen. Take this number down. I want you to go, you get it? Gapping, G-A-P, grab a pen. That's what we learned last week. So I just thought there was a lot of great stuff in that call. Hopefully you did too, but there was another chapter. I mean, all the chapters are good in this book, so if you get a chance to read it, I highly recommend it. The other chapter in there that I love so much that brought back just, what can I say? It just highlighted to me where I am every day in the business, what happens every day, what, you know, how we have to work on our mental thought process. And I just really grabbed onto it and said, I think people would enjoy this as well. So before we move on from this book, I just wanted to cover one more chapter. So bear with me today as we go through another chapter out of Empire Building, chapter 6, called The Mental Game. Because why do I want to talk about this? Because this, to me, is the most important part of your Manatech business. If you don't get the mental side down, you'll never get the results. So if your results are so dependent on the mental side, we'd better spend some time and attention working on that. What do you think? Absolutely. So let's just go through a lot of the concepts he had in this chapter, and then we'll open it for question and answers. But he kicks off, and his first part of the chapter talks about act as if. And, you know, it's as if you're already one of the top earners. Be proud of who you will become, because people will start seeing you as you see yourself. If you look at yourself or you have doubts or you have no confidence, what's the problem? It's not going to attract people. And that's what I keep telling my people. I said, you got to get out there and be bold. And in fact, there's a very good friend of mine. I won't mention names, but I call her nickname to me, and we love each other, so this isn't anything in terms of picking on somebody. It's really just it's really more of a description. And I said, you know what? You need to quit being Buttercup. Everybody get Buttercup. You think of sweetness, softness, gentle, you know, la-di-da, you know, kind of carefree a little bit, butter. And I said, you need to develop the Snapdragon in you. You know, and if you relate to that, that's great. It's just a floral kind of concept. And what I'm trying to suggest is that, you know, some of us are supporters. We're in that supporter quadrant, and we love to, you know, stand back, and we don't like to express ourselves. We hate conflict. We avoid confrontation. But sometimes we just need to say, you know what? I need to be a little bit more forceful. I need to show up with a level of confidence. Because the reality is that when your posture, and remember we've talked about posture 100 times on this call, but posture is so critical. If you have the wrong posture in presentation mode or in interaction mode, you're going to lose the person before you get out of the gate. So your posture, you want to come across as somebody that's secure and grounded and feeling confident, but it's confidence without arrogance. Does that make sense? You don't want to be that arrogant guy. And we've seen a lot of arrogance cross our stage at Manatech. I'm not suggesting our current corporate staff, but some of the people that have come and gone with us, you know, they had that little bit of, and it was almost a false sense, you know. And you don't want ever to come across false. You want to come across real and confident and secure and committed, because when people see those things in you, that's your attraction factor. They want to be a part of it. And so, and this is one of the reasons, you know, where does confidence come from? Confidence comes from belief. If you don't have belief, it's going to be hard to exude confidence. So where does belief come from? Belief comes from knowledge and understanding and commitment, those kind of things. So that's why a lot of times we use something called the belief scale. If you don't have that, talk to your upline, see if they can secure it for you. It's one of the documents I've used over the years with people when they get stuck. You know, I go, well, you know what I think is happening to you is you don't have the belief. When people get negative and gnaw on me, I go, wow, where's your belief, right? Where's your belief? I believe 100%. in the network marketing model. I mean, not 100%. Let me tell you, 1,000%. Now, why? How does Mary Jo get there? And some of you on the call today are going, wow, I wish I could say that. Well, who shows up at the Professional Network Marketing Association meetings? Who reads all the books? Who has subscribed to Networking Times? Who's out there reading it? There's another great article that came out. It said 20 reasons why network marketing is the business of the 21st century. Why do you think I read all of this all the time and expose myself to that? Because it helps build my confidence in what I'm doing. It helps build my belief system. What you feed yourself builds what you become. So that's why I tell people, stay away from naysayers, stay away from the negative people, stay away. You know, it's all a choice. It's all a choice. So look at the belief scale and say, and the critical areas of belief need to be, number one, in your company. You better believe in Manatech, otherwise don't do it. Number two, believe in the products. And if you can't believe in our products, I'm going to suggest you're not going to find any products in the industry that you can believe in that are in the nutrition arena. Number three, comp plan. Believe in your comp plan, the payout, how you earn income, that you can truly make money in this. And you can go, well, I haven't. Well, is it about you or is it available? I mean, we have created a tremendous amount of millionaires. I mean, I think we had, I don't know, there's over 200, 300, 400 people that have hit the millionaire club in this company over the years. So it works. It's just, do we work, right? So understanding the comp plan and maximizing under it might be one of your problems, so you need a little more training on it. But again, remember, belief comes from knowledge. But you need to gain knowledge in this. So if you don't have enough belief in the products, get knowledge. I love to talk about the 17 peer-reviewed studies, 13 double-blind placebo, all published in peer-reviewed publications. 17 human-based studies, 13 double-blind placebo, all published in peer-reviewed journals. Wow, who has that? Who has 100 patents, right? I mean, these are the things that are so outstanding and off the charts about who we are. And that doesn't even mention that we own nutritional glycobiology, right? So these are incredible things. Comp plan, and then what's the next thing you gotta believe in? Company, products, comp plan. You need to believe in mentors that you have. And I don't say upline here because I know there are a lot of people today that don't necessarily have an upline. Some people might have faded out of Manatech and become a network marketing junkies, jump from one to another, and we're going to talk about that today too. But the idea is that who is your mentor? You could look at your Monday morning call. If you're on this call, you can say, well, Mary Jo Hilliker is one of my mentors. Great. And hopefully this call contributes to your life because that's the purpose of the call. So do you value your mentors? Do you believe in them? And then next is, do you believe, and not last but not least, do you believe in you, yourself? Because if you don't believe in yourself, how are you ever going to convince anyone else to believe in you? So we want to step in and start, you know, when you get started, some people say, fake it till you make it. I hate that statement because I don't believe faking anything is the right thing to do. And I don't like people that go out there and lie about who they are. I'm a platinum presidential. No, you're not. Well, Mary Jo, I'm talking about in the future. Well, great, but you're not a platinum today. So say, you know, in 2016, I will be, or I am a platinum presidential by March of 2015. Or 16. Okay, so put something out there that has a deadline to it of when you're going to get there. And somebody asked me the question. They said, well, Mary Jo, how is somebody going to be attracted to me? Because I've had 10 years. Some of you have a hard time with this. You go, people say, well, how have you done in the business? When I go out and share it with people. And you go, oh, how can I talk about it? Because I've been with Manatech 10 years. And I go, it's not where you've been that matters. When somebody asks you the question, you could say, you know what, for the last 10 years, I've kind of dawdled in it, and I love the product so much, I just kept my toes in it. But today, I'm 100% all in, and I'm committed to hitting presidential director in the next 12 months. It's your choice whether you want to be along for the ride. Now, if somebody says that to me, I look at them and go, wow, I appreciate, number one, that they have 10 years experience because they really have a lot of knowledge that I can glean from. Number two, I appreciate more so where they're going because I like the energy behind that. Do you follow me? So it's not where you've been, it's where you're going. People will jump on board to take the ride with you. So use that kind of language. Okay, second point was stop selling, start solving. And we've talked about this numerous times on this call because it really isn't about selling. When I'm out there talking to people, I try to find out about them. That's why we ask questions. We do discovery process, right? I kind of laugh because I go, gosh, that was just like what I did in law practice. No, I wasn't a trial attorney where you do a lot of discovery, but, you know, every time I did a transactional attorney, it was all about discovery. When I was buying a company for one of my clients, I better discover what the company that we're buying is all about. I'm going to be responsible for building the best, you know, asset purchase agreement and making sure we cover ourselves that no ghosts are in the closet. Nothing pops up that we didn't know about, right? So we had to do a lot of discovery up front. Well, we do the same thing, right? It's like we need to be in discovery mode when we meet somebody, and we don't quiz them like they're on, you know, they're on the witness stand. We just love on them. Hey, tell me about you. Tell me about your family. You know, what's going on in your life? What do you do for a living? You know, just neat questions to find out more about the person. And somewhere in that conversation, you'll probably find something that comes up. And if nothing comes up, you know what happens to me? I mean, nothing about health or wealth. At the end of the conversation, I usually say, hey, I really enjoyed meeting you. You mind if we, like, stay in touch? Maybe grab a cup of coffee or hit Starbucks together sometime? And I get their information. That's what I do. There's never a contact out there that I don't want to get information from as I walk away. But make sure they don't feel like they're being sold. So you don't go, hey, I just came across this breakthrough science. I know you need to hear about it. You don't even know if they want to hear about it, if they have a need for it. So don't sell things. And one of the other things is the idea that, you know, those who solve the biggest problems make the most money. And finally, people who buy. If you just get a consumer, if they buy your products, understand the distinction, instead of being sold on your products, they're going to stay longer. Because if they buy, it means they chose to buy. They came from choice. They saw it, they valued it, they chose it. They're going to stay in longer than somebody who feels like you did a great job of selling them, right? Okay, next, now talking about mental game, overcoming the downers. Do we have like highs and lows in Manatech? Oh my gosh. The roller coaster seems endless, right? Ups, downs, up, downs, good days, bad days. End of a business period, you didn't hit the numbers you wanted, you fell out of leadership level, and you just collapse. You go, oh my gosh, I work so hard. I have a lot of people that don't work at all. So it's you know, that happens too, where they're disappointed because their leadership level fell off. And I go, well, you know, the proof is in the pudding. This is not a business where you can sit back and go, okay, just watch. It's not a television show. It's not watching Golden State versus Cleveland in the NBA Finals. This is a business of activity. It takes activity. You don't act, you won't create results. But we have all sorts of things, even if we're acting all the time, even if we think we're doing all the right things every day of our lives and we're putting in those 8 hours or 10 hours or whatever we're committed to doing on a daily basis, we still things around us happen, right? One of my you know, initial people I signed up really early on, got all the way up to like 55,000 in volume, and then we had the little issue with the Texas AG and that kind of stuff. But it wasn't that. She just decided that God was calling her to do something else. And it was like devastating to me because I knew she had all the possibility and probability of being a presidential director, and she came so close. And it was devastating to me that she would walk away. And I, you know, but is that a downer for me? Absolutely. But am I happy for her? Absolutely, because she's doing what God's calling in her life. But I sit back and I go, ouch. And I had another leader in Arizona that did virtually the same thing. She didn't have the financial need for the funds, so when she got up to 58,000, I think she got to 58, you know, and things just started, you know, leaking, and so she just went on her way to do something else or to, you know, not pay much attention to Manatech anymore. But it's an ouch because uplines, and then we have things like uplines leave. Some of you are out there and you're really, we call them orphans in Manatech because your upline became a network marketing and jumped onto the next one because they'd already been in four and now they're going to be in six or seven or eight. I mean, I know some presidential directors in Manatech that left the company in 2007, and they've been in five different in the next 8 years, five different network marketing companies. I can't even fathom that. I really, I can't fathom. But it happens, right? So your upline can leave. The company might make changes to the comp plan or the product line or something, and you don't like it. Does any of that happen anytime? Of course, because we all have difference of opinions. It all happens. But we need to decide how we are going to respond to all of these things. And what was wonderful about this book is here a guy who's made over 15, 20 million in his you know, network marketing career, and he makes like phenomenal dollars. He's the top guy in his company. And he's telling me in this book that all of this has happened to him, every bit of it. He's had abandonment. He's lost all his top leaders. He said, my why was big enough, so I chose to fight each time. He's a fighter. I'm a fighter. But I also chose to be successful. And I'm going to tell you, each and every one of you on the call today, it is a choice. Anyone can succeed in this business. It is all about choosing it and then creating it. But if you don't choose it, if you walk into Manatech and you go, okay, I'm going to work at it and try, well, good luck. I didn't jump into Manatech and say try. I came into Manatech and said, I just gave up six figures, so I'm going to make it work. Step into it and say, and everybody has a different story, but just choose that you're going to be successful. So adversity doesn't cause you to waffle, waver, fall. And I'm still going to tell you, you're going to still have to fight through adversity. No matter what your choices you make, it's going to cause you to have second thoughts. Just like it did for Brian Carruthers, the guy who wrote this book. I mean, he did too. But what you want to do is you want to just double up your efforts and regain momentum. That when adversity hits, double up the efforts, regain momentum. Don't let it stop you. Some days you wake up and what happens? You go out there and you talk to 10 different people and every single one of them says no to you. How do you feel? Oh, devastated. This isn't going to work. It's not, something's wrong with me. The system doesn't work. The company doesn't have the right products. Blah, 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 blah. We don't have the right marketing materials. Well, I hear this a lot from people all over the place. I get it from my organization. And I keep thinking, if we don't have the right products, why are people getting the Platinum Presidential all over the world? If we don't have the right compensation plan, why are people making millions of dollars in Manatech? Why? I mean, there's no reason that any of that has any truth. It's just perception. But if you have one of the bad days where everyone says no, the next day you get up in the morning and you feel like what? Glum and doldrums, and you go, well, I just went through 10 more people on my contact list. They all said no. This isn't going to work, blah, 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 blah. So the next day you don't do anything. And then the next day you feel badly about the prospects of your business. Maybe it's not going to work at all. So, again, you don't talk to anyone. And you've noticed the spiral effect. One bad day, you're giving all the power of you and the business. You're handing it over to naysayers. Wow, really? Really? Because you know what, people, I'm going to tell you, they're naysayers everywhere. And I call them the crabs. They're crabs all around you too, like family and friends who don't want you to succeed, because you know why? They really love you. It's not that they don't want you to be successful. It's the fact that they're afraid of what success will mean. Will she move on? Will I no longer be a friend of hers? Will I lose her as a, you know, as a sister, as a brother, as a mother, as a wife? I mean, what will she transform into if she's successful? And they're afraid. So they're better. They feel, I'm better by discouraging her and not letting her do that. Or I don't want to have her get disappointed. Well, they don't even think about, what if she makes $1 million? Would that disappoint her? No, but I mean, these are the kind of stuff that goes around just with people even who surround us. So one of the things we want to do is we want to make sure that we surround ourselves with what? With eagles. We want to fly with the eagles and surround yourself with eagles. Don't surround yourself with the turkeys, because you'll keep gobbling and gobble, 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 and we'll never get off the ground. Important for us to see this, and you have to stop that spiral effect. When you find yourself, it was wonderful. This week I had a gal send me an email, and I was so excited to get it. And some of you would go, why were you excited to get that? No, one of my up-and-coming leaders, she sent me an email this week, and the email said, oh, Mary Jo, we just had a meeting. None of the people I invited showed up. And oh, this thing is just so, it's so depressing, blah, 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 da, 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 blah, da, 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 da. And I was, you know, would I have preferred getting an email saying, Mary Jo, we just had a skincare meeting and 10 people came over and we signed up 9 of them and they got not just the youth but the optimal support bundle. And, oh, my gosh, this business is awesome. Would I prefer that email? Well, of course. So would all of you. But is that reality? I mean, sometimes that happens. But you also get the other ones. Just be happy the people contacted you immediately. So what was my response? I said, welcome to this business. It's the ups and the downs, and whether you succeed or not is how you respond to this kind of event. And I supported her 100%. I said, wow, these people, you know, you're going to find people that are out of integrity, that misrepresent, that don't tell you the truth. I said, this is what I do when I have a meeting and no one shows up. I start dialing them all. And I'm going, wow, am I disappointed? You know, you committed to be here tonight. I don't lay a guilt trap. I just lay the truth. And I said, I was really interested in supporting you, in looking at a great new product that can make a difference in your life. And usually if you do that, now the guilt lays in and the people will say, well, listen, you know, Mary Jo, I'm sorry I wasn't there. Why don't you just, you know, ship me the products. I'll take them and I'll try them for 6 months like you asked me to. And great. Then I get them registered anyway. One time I did it. I did a party for one of my people, my downline, no one showed up. She had invited 5 people. We called all 5 of them. We signed up 4 of them that night on the phone, over the phone. Make lemonade out of lemons. But the important thing is when you see a starting, you're having a spiral effect, call your upline. Now, will that always work? I can't tell you because I don't know who your upline is. But you know what? That upline should be 100% supportive to tell you, hey, welcome to the business. This is what things that happen. But don't let people rob your joy because you're going to be successful no matter what happens, right? Absolutely. And I love telling people a story about who is the there's a gold presidential who did exactly that. He had like 5 meetings in a row, and in the first four meetings he invited 30, 40 of his friends and people he knew, and the first 4 meetings he had, not one of them showed up. Now, some people would just give up on the business. The next meeting he had, one person showed up, and he ended up offering to buy the pack for the person, and the person wouldn't even let him buy the pack for him. Now, do you think he had a very good impression of what this business was going to create? But, you know, he never gave up, ever, ever gave up, and he became a silver presidential. So it's not about the experiences we have. It's how we respond to those experiences. How do we grow and become better? And that's it. Don't let people rob you. Don't let them, you know, take away. Your mind will play tricks on you. Roller coasters are prevalent, start and stop. And I was laughing as I was reading this because I had just gone through a little bit of roller coaster myself. You know, I just kind of looked at, well, you know, our signups last week were like non-existent, right? The first time I had a week like that in probably 3-4 years. And I was going, wow, what's happening to my organization? I know there are a lot of high school graduations, summer starting, all these things. But, you know, when people are active and dynamic, they're out there signing people up. And I thought I had some of those in my downline. So it was kind of a little discouraging to me. But it was, I didn't let my mind play tricks on me. Belief shakers, basically, they're there. You want to stop it as soon as it starts, you know. Here's the perception you need to carry with you every step of the way. There are countless millionaires, including Brian Carruthers, the guy who wrote this book. There are millionaires in this industry who just never quit. Because, trust me, they went through all of these same things. But they didn't let it rob them of their confidence, of their joy, of their mission, of their direction, of their commitment. They just kept rolling. So how is that working in your life? Look at where you are and say, am I letting other people, other things, rob me of my joy, rob me of my ability to make this work? You know, again, and always focus on two. Those who solve the most and biggest problems, you know, will make the biggest checks. We always need to remember the fourth item I have in the outline is stories inspire. So it matters little. I love this quote out of the book. It matters little to your success how much you know about your comp plan, your product details, or other specifics. What matters most is your ability to stir someone's emotions. How are you going to motivate your team to be productive? By what? Telling stories. So you want to teach and train people how to tell great stories. Of course, we want to make sure they're compliance stories, but we need to teach and train that. That's another skill that we need to develop in people, right? It's telling the stories. And that's part of the skills. It's really part of, you know, when we talk about contact, invite, present, it's part of that presentation is your storytelling ability. So it really is already in those four core, but I want you to really focus on ability to tell stories. There's some networks out there, marketers out there, I've read their books, and they say one of the first things they teach people is how to tell stories. They actually do a program on that. They do teachings on that, and it's important to have that down, how to tell stories, because a great story takes on a life of itself, So that story can look many different ways, many different people. You know, Jeff Allen's got a great story. Some people think my story is a great story. One of the things I love the most about my story is something that transpired in the last 10 years. It wasn't part of my first year's, you know, riches to rags story, you know, the six figures to $6 story, right? You know, which some people look at it and they laugh, they don't appreciate that, but, you know, it is my story. But it's what I've created in my kids, the entrepreneurship, the attitude of entrepreneurship, you know, being in the mission field and fighting for them to come back and be entrepreneurial. And sure enough, they chose that. And here now we're looking at it 10 years later, and these kids are worth millions of dollars at 40 years old. I mean, really? Why? Because they believed in Mary Jo. They believed in my energy about entrepreneurship. They didn't come back and try to get a J-O-B. And I love that about them. They trusted it. They had faith in it. And that's beautiful. And then I have my other kid is just, they're worth millions of dollars. They're 30 years old. They're 10 years younger with their two businesses because they're both entrepreneurs. So entrepreneurship was awesome. It's something I taught and trained and Manatech, you know, gave them that example because they watched their stepmom create massive wealth through an entrepreneurial model. So that's a great story. But you want to teach and train great stories. You want to be able to be part of great stories because that fuels people. He put in there a two jars concept. I had never heard of this. This is kind of cute because some of you don't, you know, we're having a little backlash out there. Some people are out there, they just won't get caught on to Mana Tracker. I think it's a great system, but does it take discipline? Yes. Are we lacking discipline in many areas in, you know, in people's lives? Yeah. People kind of say, well, I chose to do network marketing because I wanted freedom. Well, you want freedom, you got to create it. I remember Susan Frederick came to one of my trainings one time years ago. I mean, I'm talking early 2003, 2004, whatever. And she came into my training. I was doing Pathway to Presidential training. It was like a 4 or 6 week program at my house. And when she came through some of the things that I taught and trained there, it was really cute because she came up to me one day. I talked about things that hold you back in life. What are your limiting beliefs that are holding you back? And one of them that she discovered in that class, in some of the self-development work I was doing, she discovered that she chose network marketing because she wanted freedom and she was living a free life. But she wasn't getting anywhere in her business because she was so entrenched in the freedom that it gave her. And I said, wow, what a great aha. Because this business does provide you phenomenal freedom. But it's not freedom every day to kind of sit around and eat bonbons. What it is it's create. You have the discipline today. I love to look at it. Spend the next 2 years of your life so that you can be financially free for the rest of your life. That means you're not really free in the next 2 years. It means you've got the nose to the grind and you do what it takes, come, you know, heck or high water, come rain or shine, it doesn't matter, you're going to do what it takes. That is what networking is about. And you know what? Susan Frederick became a presidential director about 14 months later. And that's exactly what she did. And she always told me, Mary Jo, that changed my life. That changed my course. It changed my life. And I don't take credit for it. I said, Susan, no, you chose to change. That's the difference. But the idea is that you know, you want to have that freedom. So you got to get a discipline in there. Well, the two jars theory is this. You set up two jars on your desk at home, wherever you're doing your manifesting business, and you put 10 marbles in the jar. One jar has pictures on it of where you are today. A job, you know, no, an old car, being broke, a lot of debt, whatever it is, and I'm not suggesting all of you are there, but whatever it looks like that you don't have today, what you want, what are things in your heart you'd love your life to look like. You put all the love of your life to look like on the other jar, pictures of that, a new car, a new house, money, you know, a bank account with $40,000 in it and growing, you know, your retirement fund totally taken care of, you know, all these, they put that on another jar. And every day you start off with 10 marbles or 20, depending on how many hours you're working the business. And every time you do something that catapults your business forward, which means find a new prospect, STP, you know, go to a presentation, go to a special training. You get to take one marble out of the jar where you are and put it into the jar where you want to be. And it's just a physical representation and activity that shows you that you're moving forward. And if that works for you better than doing Mana Trucker, then do that. But whatever you do, do what your upline's telling you. You don't have to listen to Mary Jo. I just think that's kind of a cute activity. And, in fact, I thought about doing that on my desk. And I do a lot of things every day, but just the idea of having those two pictures there. Every day I want to see, this is where I am, this is where I want to be. This is where I am, this is where I want to be. Right? Because I have a bigger goal. I want to add more churches to Brazil. And that means that I got to start working at, hey, the income I need to produce needs to look like this to do more churches. And now I'm going to Zambia, and I'm going to do evangelism in New York City in September. I want to be spending my goal, if I look down the road, like in the next couple of years, I want to spend 1 week out of every month in some evangelism program somewhere. So I might be all over the world with it. But in order for me to do that, what do I need that? Second, what do I need to take out of that first jar and put in the second jar? I need to create a greater income stream to give me the freedom and flexibility to do that. So whatever that looks like for you, make that happen. It's powerful to do the two-jar concept. And you can even do it around kids, too. They talk about your kids. Get your kids involved and say, every single time, you know, listen, kids, Mom and I got to go out, and we got to spend time doing business meetings and trainings and things like that. So there are going to be times in their life over the next couple of years that are going to be tough. But, you know, on a year annual basis, you know what we do? Every single time that we go out and you kids stay home with the babysitter, we're going to add 50 cents to a jar. So you're contributing to our vacation fund. So as soon as that jar's filled up, we're all going on vacation together. So the kids got caught up in the whole concept of this had to do with their annual vacation. So there's many ways to use two jars to tie in an entire family's involvement or just your own, whatever that is. Understanding what really motivates all of us. This was a big thing, and hopefully I can cover it appropriately for all of you. A lot of us look at what's really motivating us. You know, we talk about your big why. And the bottom line, what Brian talks about is he says, everyone in the world wants love and they want respect. They want to be valued. And these drives fuel everything we do, everything we think about, everything we strive for. Now, most of us, we talk about being totally selfless. I do. I talk about all my mission work, all my work for the church, all my, you know, all the contribution I do, my family coaching, pouring into people's lives, my pro bono legal work. All of this stuff is totally selfless. It's not about Mary Jo, right? But, you know, the reality of it is it really does boost our ego. It does. Because it makes us feel good about ourselves, and that's our ego. And we want to feel good about ourselves. We want to feel like on a daily basis we're making a contribution because that's invaluable. It makes us feel like we're worthy. We're selfless, but you know what? We're contributing. We're making a difference. We're making a significant change in this world. Step by step, every day we're doing something, being part of M5M, you know, making that donation, delivering the products to South Plains Food Bank. All of that is really important. So if I kid myself and say it's not about my ego, I'm wrong. Because it is about doing things that make us feel great about ourselves. And that's ego. Now, there's a big difference between being an egomaniac, but we have to recognize that when we feel good about ourselves and we do things that make us feel good about ourselves, that is stroking our egos. So don't lie to yourself about not feeding your ego. Don't look at ego as a bad word, because then you're going to have a hard time winning or achieving. The reality is we can have ego and we can have humility at the same time. And hopefully we get that. If your why is not clear and you're not clear on what inside you drives that why, which is your ego, right, then there's no way. In other words, you're not going to make it. That big issue out there, it's got to be big. So when you build 6 churches in Brazil, you better come up with a new one next year. Otherwise, you know what? Not going to go anywhere. You got to keep driving yourself. And we drive ourselves by having a why. And if you haven't read that book by Simon Sinek, you need to read it. Start with Why. It's a great book. But it tells us our reality about what's going to move us forward. What gets you off the chair? What gets you out of the office? What gets you out there sharing with people, talking to people you never talked to before? That's your why. How big is your why? How strong is that why? So what you want to do is you want to look at other people's success stories. Make sure when you hear people be successful that you are 100% all in. You know, I had this problem. 15 years ago, I went through some self-development program, and I found myself so competitive that I hated to lose. So when somebody else won and I lost, all I did was try to come up with excuses why they won. They cheated, they did this. Or I mean, my brain would do all this stuff. And I was like marveled that at 40-some years old, I was stuck in this realm of insanity, as I call it. And I learned a lot in that self-development exercise that, Mary Jo, you need to just applaud and just be, you know, exhilarated at the greatness that somebody has, that somebody else won, and be ecstatic about other people's success stories. Because you know what? The reality is there are always going to be people better than us, no matter what we do. And why can't we be proud of that? Because, you know, success stories need to motivate us, not allow us to fall in the doldrums and come up with excuses. That's ridiculous. And I hear that from time to time around Manatech. I hear it around people in Manatech. When somebody else does something great, they make excuses why. And that's ludicrous. Why can't you just give credit to that person for creating such phenomenal results in their lives? And allow it to be something that drives you instead of when you make excuses around it, or you make up stuff, must, I call it, make up stuff, M-U-S, make up stuff, must, right? Or make stuff up, MSUs, make stuff up. I think that's what the acronym is, make stuff up. If we do that, then it doesn't do any. It doesn't serve any value in our life. We're not allowing it to impact us, to drive us, which is a sad thing because you just missed out on an incredible opportunity to be motivated. So be excited about other people's wins and allow it to motivate you to achieve the same. Next is managing naysayers. Oh, my gosh. Don't anyone to steal your dream. Your family, your friends will try. They're like the crabs. Did you ever hear the crab story? Let's talk about it today because you need to learn this one. If you put a bunch of crabs in a jar and you have a cover on it, you take the cover off, one of those crabs eventually is going to try to make its way out of the jar. But you know what? The other 3 or 4 crabs in the jar are going to try to hold back that crab that tries to get out. It's an absolute truth. Now, does that happen to us in life all the time? Absolutely. And who are the number one people that don't want us to succeed? And we talked about it earlier. It's your friend and your families because they're afraid of loss, the fear of loss. They want you to be successful, but their fear of loss is greater than their desire to see you be successful. Does that make sense? So they're not rooting against you. They're just saying, oh, my gosh, but if she is successful, what will she do? Will she leave us? Will she move somewhere? She'll buy a bigger house. She'll move across, go to Hawaii. She'll live in a different place. She'll defriend us. But you don't want your family and friends to be at that influence on you. So don't let anyone steal your dream. And of course, I always recommend that book, What Other People Think of Me Is None of My Business, because that helps you dismiss people that are naysayers. No one can tell you what you can achieve or what you can't do in life. Only you choose. Can you be influenced by them? If you choose to be influenced. But you can choose out of it. So what he did is he built this. It's great. I've never seen it before, so I gave you a little, you can go right to it. I gave you the link and the outline. It's called Your Dreams Flu Shot. Oh, hilarious. I thought this was terrific. In fact, he uses it with every new person that joins his team, because he doesn't want somebody to go out there and have tons of people come up and be naysayers and say, oh, no, not networking. No, this is network marketing and all the negativity and all the – he doesn't want anyone in his organization to go out there without having flu shot that inoculates them from it. He says, because what happens is if you don't do it, people go out there in their first month and they get enough people saying that to them, and you know what? They eventually go, it's not going to work. So they get blown out of the water before they even get started. So he says, man, I'm inoculating my people right up front. And I think it's a great idea. So you could read that and see if it works for you. I'm going to add it to my getting started package, because I want to inoculate my people from the naysayers out there. He also said, don't allow associates to steal your time. I love this one. The graveyards are filled with dreams that never came true. And he said, you know, people love to procrastinate. They love to procrastinate. They put things off, and a lot of it has to do with not having confidence or not having this, and they just put things off, or they just inherently have procrastination as one of the worst habits in their life. And it is. It's one of the terrible. It's just you procrastinate until your life is gone. And then you wonder why you never created what your dreams. They were all there to be had, but your procrastination stole them from you. So look at your day-to-day and see, what are you procrastinating on? What are projects that you said you were going to get done that you've never gotten done? It's all procrastination. I like to get things done so I have a free day to move on. I like to get the laundry done, get the house clean, get this done, get it done and move on. Get to the next, because it gives me a whole open day to have the freedom to do whatever I choose to do and accomplish whatever is laid out there, because I have no idea what's coming, what next phone call will come, what three-way call, what meeting will come up, it's always happening, so I want to be able to be a part of whatever comes along instead of having a load of stuff on my platform because I've been procrastinating. So procrastination will kill you. I mean, it'll just destroy your life. It'll eat away your future. Because you'll show up next year at the same time on Mary Jo's call in June of 2016, and you won't be an inch closer to making your commitment or your goals than you were in June of 2015, because you're procrastinating. And he had this great story about this dog that was sitting on a nail. And he was sitting on a nail, and he was whining, and he was wah, 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 right? Wah, 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 complaining, wah, 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 and you know how dogs can howl and whine and everything. And the woman finally went over there and said, what's wrong with you? And he finally got up, and she noticed he was sitting on a nail. And the problem was, it just didn't hurt badly enough. And I think that's where a lot of people are today. Are you the dog sitting? Now, I'm not calling you a dog. Okay, it's just symbolism. But are you a dog sitting on a nail and your circumstances are just not hurting you badly enough? You just have to answer that question, because maybe that's what's keeping you flat-footed and keeping your butt in the chair instead of out there. Knowing what everyone knows what they need to do. This isn't a hard business. What is it? Build a contact list, contact and invite, do a presentation, follow up and close, and keep that circle going. Four basic steps to redo this business. Are you doing it? Or are you sitting on a nail and it just doesn't hurt badly enough? I love it. He said you can make excuses or you can make money, but you can't make both. Then he talked about the power of affirmations. Conceive it, believe it, achieve it. We all know that. he gave a few ideas. I always talk to people about affirmations because I believe they're critical. I think that if you need to get kick off your morning and to have a good day, you ought to start off with some really solid affirmations. And the affirmations can be really simple. I tell people don't have 20 of them. Have like 5. Because if you have 20, you're going to be too confused on all of them. They're going to be too massive, and you're not going to keep the focus on specific ones. So limit them to about 4 or 5. I'm a top recruiter. Every morning I get up and I go, I'm a top recruiter. Do you think that'll change the results that you create that day? I guarantee it will. If you do it over and over and over again, I am a fearless leader. Great. Now, are the things that we say in affirmations typically 100% true? No, they typically aren't the truth today, but they're where we're going. So we plant them in our brain to believe them, so we become them. People want to work with me. I'm a warrior for freedom. I'm a great sponsor, a great coach. I'm living my dream. I'm changing thousands of lives. I'm a great speaker. I'm building the fastest growing team. Just take some of these basic ones. Keep them short and sweet so you can repeat them, so you can have them in your head, so they come up in their clarity around them. And start saying them to yourself every day. Write them down. Say them in the morning. Say them at night before you go to bed. Right? Make it happen. Affirmations are powerful. People have been using affirmations, people, for thousands of years. This isn't new, but are you doing it? The next thing he talked about was shiny object syndrome, and this is kind of cute because we have some of this going on, and I see it around, and people come to me with these things. In fact, I just had one of my leaders went off with another company just 6 months ago or something. Of course, this person's been on and off with Manatech for about 15 years, so this is no surprise to me. But it happens because they see shiny object syndrome. And what it is somebody joins our business. Once they join our business, they've had an open mind in order to join our business, right? So we know they have an open mind. Well, that's the good news. The bad news is that they're going to continue having an open mind because that's the nature of who they are. So when they get approached 10, 20 times by other people, other things, a new friend, a relative gets involved in another network marketing company, blah, blah, blah. There's a shinier object out there, blah, 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 right? And somebody says, we have the top comp plan, we have the best product, this is easy as can be, I'll support you to the top. There's every marketing line out there you can think about. It's everywhere. People say this all the time. I see marketing materials out there that, I mean, they'd floor you. They'd absolutely, I don't even know how they get away with it, but obviously the FTC hasn't found it yet, so that's why they're getting away with it. But the problem with this is what we call the SOS, shiny object syndrome. There's always a shiny object out there to deflect you, right? They're deflectors. They take your mind off the direction, their commitment, where you are, and they deflect you, and then you start thinking, oh, the grass is greener on the other side. I'm just alerting you, as did Brian, beware of bouncers or MLM junkies. We know a lot of them. I mean, when we go to the Professional Network Marketing Association, there's some people up there that are powerful network marketers, but they've been in 5 different companies or 6 different companies. They're powerful. But there's also something out there that the Professional Network Marketing Association is going after because they're saying we need to clean up our own industry with self-regulation. Because there are companies out there, I won't name in the name of one, but one I know that has a $65 million fund that they're using to attract heavy hitters from other network marketing companies to come over to their business. In other words, they approach people like perhaps Mary Jo. They had called me up and they say, listen, we have this great company and we want you to come over and be a part of what we have. And they'll send one of their bigwigs out to sit down and talk to us. And they'll offer me $75,000 to jump shift. Isn't that incredible? Or they might offer $100,000. That happens all the time. I mean, it's a problem. That we know of one right now that has that kind of funding and is doing exactly that. But that is so pathetic a way. It's just, it's not who we are, but it is in existence. And that's what happens out there. But we also talk about people that would never get an offer of $75,000 to jump to another network marketing company because they're at regional level or national level in Manatech. But, you know, you might have had a bad week or a bad month or your upline quit. And what do you, right away, what do? you start shopping, or some friend of yours joins another and you see how they take off in their first 30 days, because a lot of people have these fast, quick start programs. But then what happens down the road? Their comp plan doesn't even come close to ours. They don't have a power bonus structure. You know what? Our power bonus structure is phenomenal. Most people, when they see that at Direct Sales Associates meetings, they go, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. Sign up 4 people, you make $800. That's crazy. No one else has that, right? And you can do it forever. You can do it every week of the month. You can make $800 a week by just signing up four people. And our sign-up pack, many other people are $1,000, $1,500 to get started. Ours are $499. $499, and you're in the business. Do you want to buy a McDonald's franchise for $1.5 million, or do you want to buy a all-star pack with Manatech for $499? What a difference. So people, watch out for the MLM junkies. It is an epidemic. And I tell people, do you leave a wife just because a prettier one comes along, or a husband just because? Then don't leave the company. Stay committed. Loyalty. Wow. Trust me, a lot of people that have been in Manatech left, came back. I have had so many comments when I go to conventions like Manifest and ManaQuest, where presidentials come up to me and said, Mary Jo, you know what? I so honor you, because through the ups and downs and thick and thin, you never wavered. And I go, well, here's my answer. And some of you know it. How did I get involved in Manatech? It was a God thing for me. The Lord brought me to the science of glycobiology, brought me to the company, and I had a miracle in my dad's life. So really, if God brought me here, am I going to, Mary Jo, earthly Mary Jo, make a decision to leave? Or am I going to wait for him to tell me? Right? Got it? And he's never represented me ever or given me any inclination that this isn't exactly where he wants me to be. So I'm here to stay. Anyway, so it's great. So it's just that's what you want to do. Make the commitment. Get away from the shiny objects. And the last point he made in this again, all these are mental states, right? A mental game we have in doing network marketing. And last one is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. This is crucial for all of you who are leaders. You know, you bring along and you have a new person in your organization, right? You sign up a new person. They say they want to do the business. And no matter what you do, they're not doing anything. Do you ever have that happen? Absolutely. And the funny part of it is first of all, you keep telling them what to do. Horses don't do what you tell them to do. Horses only do what they want to do. So you need to convince them that they want to do it. That's one of the reasons why we find out their whys, because then we can work with them with their why. You know, John, I thought you told me that you wanted to build some college funds for your kids. I said, you know, 2 weeks have gone by and I haven't noticed that there's any dollars going to any college fund, because I haven't noticed that you've called anyone to start building your business. How can I support you to get that off the ground and running, right? So you can start using that. So you got to find out what motivates them, find their why, their need, their driving force, and use that to motivate them, because it's not going to be you pounding on them that's going to make a difference. That's why it's so critical to get that why down. Figure out what it is, what they want to create in their life, all that, and then you know what? That's what you go after. You don't go after them, hey, you forgot, hey, where's your list? What's your this? What's your this? No, no, no. Say, you know, John, I remember when we first talked a month ago, this is what you told me. Is that gone? Are you no longer committed to creating that? Got it? Another strategy is showing them other horses drink water. In other words, showing them it's working. Here's the system. Look at this. It's one of the reasons I love Sharon McGee in my organization. Now Laura Robinson, we got people that are out there. They're creating incredible action. Laura signed up 11 people last business period. Sharon became a regional director first month, a national in 4 months. She's on her truck now to hit senior national. These are things that people, this is being done out of a little small town called Bastrop, Texas. You get it? It's not like Dallas. It's not like San Antonio, Austin. It's not where there are millions of people. There are few people. So show that other people are doing it. It's working, because that gives people confidence that, well, if it works for her, it can work for me, right? And he made the comment, here's his quote, most every one of my superstars took weeks or months of coddling, hand-holding, coaching, and promoting. but I can attest to you that the time investment paid off. So you should never, ever think of quitting because you can't get anyone else to move. I put this in. This isn't out of his book, but Paula Pritchard said in her book, Own Yourself, which is a great book as well. But she said in there, she said, you know, my first year and a half in Amway, that was what the company she started with, she was a professional, so I relate to her a lot. She was after her PhD. She was a college professor at Kent University in Ohio. And she was talking about how, you know, when she got in network marketing, she just believed it was a place where she was going to make her greatest income. So because college professorship was never going to get her to be a millionaire. So she stepped in and she got into Amway, and after a year and a half, she just was so stifled. She went to her upline and she said, you know, I built this organization, blah, 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 but I just can't get any of them to move. And you know what her upline told her? He looked at her and he said, you know what, Paula? You got to get yourself a new downline. You've just surrounded yourself with the wrong people. We got to go out there, and what do we tell people to do? I'm going to give you this close. The three most important characteristics you find in somebody are what? The three H's. And the first H is the most important. Find people who are hungry. Hungry. Find people who are honable, teachable, right? And find people who are honorable. So you really love working with them, for them, beside them. Okay, people, that's it. Hope this helped. Mental game. Anyone? Feedback. Could you see yourself in this at all? What?
This is June. Thank you for this call on the mental part. I just want to comment, if you put jars on your desk, you better get gallon jars.
For all the activity, all the marbles.
Exactly.
Thank you, Dial. Thanks,
okay.
June.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
I just have a little twist on your horse in the water thing.
Uh-huh.
While it's true that if you lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink if you just give him oats, if you salt the oats, which is the why, then he will drink.
Right.
So salt your oats.
Salt your oats, right. Which for us as leaders would mean what? Really working, finding out what their why is, and
right,
working on that why, pinpointing that. Yeah, exactly. Great.
Right.
Same thing. Great. Thank you. Anyone else? Any last-minute questions before we close the call today? Okay, everyone, have a great week. Let's make things happen. It's another great week ahead of us. I'm actually coming up to Michigan this weekend. I probably won't see any of you because I'm not doing Manitech. I'm going to go to my husband's niece's wedding in Byron, Michigan. So love you guys. Again, have a great week. We'll see you Monday. Bye.